Welcome and thank you for standing by. Today's conference call will now begin. All lines are on listen-only mode until the question-and-answer session. At that time, if you would like to ask a question, you would press star 1 and record your name when prompted. Today's call is also being recorded. If there are any objections, you may disconnect. And I will now turn the call over to Lauren Gacious. Thank you. You may begin.
Thank you and good morning. I am Lauren Gacious with NOAA Communications. Today, you'll hear from Dr. Louis Uccellini, Director of the National Weather Service, and Dr. Ivanka Steiner, Acting Director of NOAA's Environmental Modeling Center. Together, they will share with you the exciting news about our latest upgrade to the Global Ensemble Forecasting System, or GEFS, as we will refer to it. A news release about today's announcement is now available on NOAA.gov, and following today's remarks, you'll have an opportunity to ask questions of our experts. If at the conclusion of today's call you have additional questions or questions on other topics, please contact me at lauren.gacious@noaa.gov. That's lauren.gacious@noaa.gov. My contact information also appears on the media advisory. With that, I'll turn it over to Dr. Uccellini.
Thank you, Lauren. And thank you, everyone, for joining today's call. I am very excited to share the National Weather Service has made a significant upgrade, the first of its kind in more than 5 years, to the Global Ensemble Forecast System, or GEFS, as Laura just mentioned. But these upgrades will expand GEFS capabilities and improve weather forecasting. Our meteorologists at the National Weather Service use GEFS to produce medium-range weather forecasts and provide reliable outlooks of impending high-impact weather events, including hurricanes, blizzards, and extreme heat and cold, out to 7 to 10 days in advance. In some cases, and providing more lead time for our core partners for storm preparations than ever before. And this is a critical element that helps us build a more weather-ready nation. As of today, GEFS now uses the finite volume cube sphere, or FV3 as it's been called, dynamical core that was similarly added to the Global Forecast System model last year. And with today's upgrade, the National Weather Service can deliver its first ever numerical weather prediction 3 to 4 weeks in advance, providing a solid foundation for improving the probability forecast guidance for weeks 1 and 2 weather forecast, and also monthly forecasts, temperature and precipitation, and will become an important component for the sub-seasonal to seasonal forecast issued by the Climate Prediction Center. The GEFS also addresses important forecast challenges in the extended range portion of the forecast model now at higher resolution. We are improving the higher resolution forecast from 33 kilometers to 25 kilometers and taking this resolution all the way out to 35 days with more ensemble members. The GEFS upgrade continues the ongoing revolution of numerical modeling that began with the National Weather Service leading the world with the introduction of ensemble modeling into operations over 25 years ago, and continuing during that period with a seamless suite of multi-model ensembles extending from the short-range predictions all the way to the seasonal forecast. These advancements won't just provide better resolution and accuracy to our numerical models, but it will also set the stage for future upgrades and are a big step towards advancing NOAA's operational global forecast capabilities using what we now call the Unified Forecast System Framework, while also fulfilling requirements of the Weather Research and Forecast Innovation Act of 2017. So now I'll turn it over to Dr. Steiner.
Thank you, Louis. GEFS quantifies the amount of uncertainty in a forecast by generating an ensemble of multiple forecasts. GEFS provides a range of possible outcomes, such as predictions of hurricane tracks that begin where the storm is at the start of the forecast and spread further apart as forecast advances days into the future, like in the spaghetti plots of possible hurricane tracks. With that in mind, last year when we talked about the upgrade to the global forecast system, we described it as replacing the engine in a car. With this inclusion of FV3 dynamical core into GEFs, we are now replacing the engines in a fleet of cars. Each car now takes the advantage of the power of this new engine, and with slightly different features, they represent the forecast uncertainties more accurately. That aids the forecasters and decision makers with information on a range of possibilities to be considered when issuing the forecast. One of the most important and exciting changes with this upgrade is that in addition to weather predictions, GEFS now provides predictions of waves and aerosols, like those in the smoke from wildfires in the western states that have reached across the continent to the East Coast and across the Atlantic Ocean. GEFS couples wave and aerosol components with the atmospheric model, which allows for the simplification of National Centers for Environmental Prediction, NCEP, operational prediction suite. This is an important step for us organizationally as we strive to streamline our production suite under the UFS, or the Unified Forecast System framework that Louis mentioned. GEFS is the first coupled model under the UFS framework. So with today's announcement and the inclusion of the FE3 dynamical core, GEFS resolution has increased from approximately 33 kilometers to 25 kilometers, and the number of individual forecast input into ensemble has increased from 21 to 31 members. This means that the system now offers greater resolution, more possible outcomes for numerical guidance, and provides an even more robust tool for our forecasters. Additionally, these GEFS enhancements will boost extended range of forecasting in the 2 to 4 week timescale by improving the numerical guidance used for temperature and precipitation forecasts, and will extend the forecast guidance length from 16 to 35 days, along with improvements to overall physics. To clarify, while NOAA's Climate Prediction Center does currently have 3 to 4 week forecast product, this is the first time that a forecaster will be able to leverage consistent numerical prediction guidance from weather to week 4 timescales for that forecast product. GEFS and NOAA's other weather forecasting system models are developed by our team at the Environmental Modeling Center in College Park, Maryland, working together with our colleagues from NOAA research laboratories, NOAA satellite experts, and with increasingly broader community. NOAA research scientists originally developed the FV3 as a tool to predict long-range weather patterns at time frames ranging from multiple decades to interannual, seasonal, and subseasonal timescales. In recent years, creators of FV3 at NOAA's Geophysical Fluid Dynamics Laboratory collaborated with EMC scientists and expanded it to become the engine for NOAA's next generation of operational modeling systems. NOAA research scientists collaborated with EMC to expand GEFS by coupling wave and aerosol models in the Unified Forecast System, UFS framework, which is central for this upgrade to GEFS. NOAA research scientists work with our team of scientists at the Environmental Modeling Center to develop improved aerosol predictions, to improve the way ensemble members spread, and to run GEFS using the data for previous 30 years to better understand how it performs and enable more accurate forecasts.
Thank you so much, Dr. Steiner, and thank you to Louie as well to start. With that, we'll move into the Q&A portion of our call today. Joining us to help answer questions is Dr. Vijay Talapragada, Chief of the Modeling and Data Assimilation Branch within NOAA's Environmental Modeling Center. Operator, if you would, please let our reporters know how to get into the queue to ask any questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If there are any questions over the phone lines, please press star 1 and record your name when prompted. We will wait for the first question.
Operator, I think it may be that we're unable to hear our first question. Can we take the next question and move that person into the queue?
Our first question comes from Seth Bornstein from the Associated Press. Seth, your line is open.
Thank you. I missed the first minute or two, so Dr. Steininger, if perhaps we can help you with this. You talked about, and the press release talks about going from 16 to 35-day forecast length, but only with additional upgrades. So can you walk me through when do you go from 16 to 35? And I assume there are steps in between. If you're now at, if the GFS was at 16, when do you go to whatever the next step is? And when do you hit 35? And what does that mean for the person who's going to be getting these forecasts? How accurate can you be in days 17 through 35?
This is Dr. Steiner. I will start the answer to this question. So currently, operational GAPS runs only out to 16 days. The forecast are only the numerical guidance is only run out to 16 days. With this upgrade, we will start running this system out to 35 days for the first time operationally. This system will now be providing forecast guidance that can be used by the forecasters at Climate Prediction Center, and the guidance is also available publicly to provide the guidance from all of the 31 members. Now we have only increased the membership of the ensemble out to 35 days.
But I guess what I'm getting at is, so this happens immediately. You're going out to 35 days immediately. And what is the sort of, how much accuracy do you lose out a month in advance?
So, yes, this is Dr. Steiner again. We start this immediately. The forecast skill, of course, does fall off with the lead time. Maybe Dr. Taro Paragada can provide us with some numbers.
Hi, this is Vijay Talapagada. I'm Chief of Modeling and Data Simulation Branch and also the Project Manager for the GAPS V12. So the question, if I understand it correctly, is what additional benefits that 16 to 35-day extension will give. And what we found in our evaluation over 30 years of reforecast, that the model has produced better 2-meter temperatures or CONUS in the extended range, like weeks 2, 3, and 4. The tropical cyclone outlook, the tropical cyclone hazard outlook, has more skill in detecting the tropical cyclones in the monthly time scale. And also, we improved the large-scale predictability in the tropics, like the Madden-Julian oscillation that is responsible for causing weather patterns change over larger continental areas. Those skills are improved by about 5 days, from 20 days to 25 days, more skillful prediction for the tropics. So these are the benefits that we get from the extended predictions that are provided by the GAPS V12.
I guess, in terms of accuracy, how far off do you fall off from day 16 to day forecast skill? Is there a way of saying how much how much the forecast skill does fall off from day 16 to day 35?
Yeah, this is Louis, PJ. Let me try that with just the. This is Louis Uccellini, Seth.
Yeah. Okay.
What we've been doing over the last 5 or 6 years is in forecasting days 3 and 4. Weeks 3 and 4 for temperature above, below, or at normal, we have shown useful skill in the temperature forecast that usually carries through. There are periods that there's more skill than others, but we're really in that that area between initial value weather forecast out to week two, and then the climate forecast, which start with the monthly forecast. So we're in that zone. And what we've been able to show is that there is useful skill in temperatures generally. We have big challenges with precipitation that remains, out there for the research and operational communities working together. This model run these models now in this version basically gives us further improves the skill in temperatures. And we're seeing episodic periods of time in which we get positive skill in precip forecasts. But that's still the big challenge. There's no question about it. So, we're measuring our skills differently once we get beyond week two. We all know this limit, theoretical limit of predictability that we have to address, and that's being done through a concerted effort at the OSTP level and in generating a research program in that regard. But we are seeing useful skill in temperatures. We got a lot of work to do on precipitation during this week three and four period.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Rachel Kay with WJLA. Rachel, your line is open.
Hi, thanks. My initial question I actually found the answer to, but I'll just mention in case anyone else is wondering the same thing. You had mentioned the media release, and I was having trouble finding that, and I found it through the NOAA Communications tweet. So I was just wondering where that was. But since I've got the floor, I guess I'd love to know, too, you guys mentioned that this will set the stage for future upgrades. What do you guys have anything in mind as to where this could keep going in the future? I know you're just talking about the precipitation accuracy improving as well, but what does the future look like?
This is Dr. Uccellini. Thank you for your question. What we intend to do with this framework is, first of all, to streamline our model suite within that framework, and the GAPS will be a fundamental part of that. So from a future point of view, and as we've heard in webinars now from around the world over the last year, the future really is in ensemble modeling and bringing that to higher resolution beyond even what we've done with this upgrade. There are folks who are pointing towards resolution in the single-digit kilometer range for us to get into more of the details and extend the predictability out further out in time into this weeks three and four time frame and beyond, actually, in terms of the probabilistic forecast. So we're certainly set up to start addressing that future view. The other aspect is that we were the, and I noted this in my opening remarks, we were right on the forefront of introducing ensemble models 25 years ago, and one of the aspects of that is the notion of a multi-model ensemble. And operationally today, we run multi-model ensembles from the short range all the way through this period. The GAPS is combined with the Canadian model, for example, to provide and the Navy model to provide a North American ensemble forecast system, which is multi-model. And then we go right up into the sub-seasonal and seasonal with a multi-model climate model that involves Canada again and four research institutes. So we feel like this is really going to position ourselves to do that more efficiently, number one, within our model suite and free up the existing computing resources to address the coupling among the ocean, the land, the cryosphere, and the atmosphere, and higher resolution as we move forward. And we expect to get even more accurate forecast data that, especially for the extreme events, out into the weeks two, three, and four time frame give even more preparation time for these types of events. So that's the kind of vision we have with this. It's going to take a lot of science. It's going to take operational capabilities, especially in computing capacity. But I believe we're well positioned
to keep our leadership role with respect to multimodal ensembles and advance that into the future. Thank you.
Our next question comes from James Gilbert with News 8. James, your line is open.
Great. Thanks for doing this. Just curious about the number of individual forecast inputs into the ensemble going from 21 to 31 and hurricane intensity. I'm citing, I guess, Hurricane Harvey, for example, was some of the outputs there was several feet of rain, which, you know, a lot of meteorologists wrote off until the verification actually happened. And we're seeing rapid intensification more and more common with hurricanes just over the past few weeks that models have seemed to struggle with getting that rapid intensification. Do you hope with the increase in ensemble numbers that some of the maybe outliers might actually be more legitimate? Or I guess, you know, is the goal to try to get the scope of possibilities with the increased number in ensemble inputs?
BJ or Ivanka, you want to handle that one?
Yeah.
Go ahead, BJ.
Right. So that's a great question. So the increase in the ensemble resolution and the number of members that are going to provide forecasts for each cycle will definitely improve the ability to predict the intensity change more accurately. And actually, our reforecast suggested that we improved the intensity forecast by about 30%. And the GAPS V12 will definitely provide the kind of indications on the rapid intensification, not necessarily getting the magnitude of the intensity change because that requires even higher resolution. And we have specialized hurricane models that do provide guidance on the rapid intensification, like the H4 and the HMON. But with the increased resolution of the GAPS, we do see much improved intensity predictions for the tropical cyclones in the Atlantic.
Operator, we want to take our next question.
Next question comes from Jack Hale with S&P Global and Market Intelligence. Jack, your line is open.
Hey, thanks for doing the call. I was just curious, what sort of, you know, kind of on-the-ground impact do you foresee these increased capabilities having in terms of emergency preparedness and response?
This is Dr. Uccellini. Certainly will address that. It's very clear over the past 7 to 8, 9 years now that we've been focusing on our vision of building a weather-ready nation, which entails principally working with our emergency management community throughout every government level, federal, state, local, tribal nation, Pacific Island states, Alaska. It's no matter where you are with respect to this process, getting additional lead time before an extreme event and providing information which shows the change in likelihood of that event as you approach and that event is very important to the emergency management community getting an early start. So for storms like Harvey that's already been mentioned and Laura just recently, we were actually providing what we call impact-based decision support services, 10 days before landfall. And as we approach the event, we hone in on the solution set. There's uncertainty, obviously uncertainty in these forecasts with extended lead times, which we have to address as well. But the idea now is to show that trend, going towards a more certain forecast as you approach, gives them the wherewithal to start actions of, prepared preparations, staging, sorting out the areas that you're going to stage electrical utility companies coming in and being there so when the storm passes, they can come in and start the repairs right away, as an example. We found in our interactions with the emergency management community, they actually start aggressively now in days 8, 7, 6, 5 before an event. And if we recall, with Irma, the governor of Florida declared a state of emergency 6.5 days before landfall. That's based on forecasts coming from us and a heavy reliance on model forecasts, obviously, in that time range. And that interaction started at day 10 and then 9, 8, 7. And by day 6.5, they're ready to declare that state emergency so they could then plan there and actually execute their evacuation orders off the Keys. That's remarkable. That is absolutely remarkable. These models, the ensemble models, provide us now with a way of getting that outlook out, you know, sometimes out to a week in advance, and then step that up. And so this is an important upgrade in that regard. I do want to emphasize, however, that there are still cases that have less predictability in those time ranges than we see in storms like Laura, Irma, Florence, and the like. And clearly, they still pose a challenge. It is our belief that these advancements that we're talking about today will help us with those types of storm systems, but we will always, I believe, we will continue to have those challenges facing us as some storms do have less predictability in the extended ranges than others. Thank you.
Thanks. Again, if there are any more questions, go ahead.
I was just going to say I appreciate the answer. That was great. Thank you.
Again, if there are any more questions over the phone lines, please press star 1 and record your name. Our next question comes from Seth Bornstein. Seth, your line is open.
Yes, thank you again. I guess just in terms of for the average person who goes to their forecast office's website, you know, and now you can see, I think, 10 days, will the average person in the full, you know, when you're the weather consumer, more days on their forecast, or is this more just for the forecasters' use in creating their forecast? In other words, you know, will I be able to go look 20 days out on the website and find, you know, just your forecast.gov, you know, LWX or wherever website and find it? And the second is, what was the overall cost of for this upgrade?
Okay, this is Seth. This is Louie again. With respect to your first question, it's interesting because as we implemented and extended our numerical prediction capabilities in the first decade of this century, you know, we increased our lead time in our forecast pages from 5 to 7 days. And we did that based on a measure of the skill levels that we believed we could bring to those forecasts on a general basis, not just on an episodic basis. I feel like we are approaching that time when two things can happen. One, we can continue to extend what is considered a more detailed forecast out to 10 days or in that kind of time frame, not advertising that we're actually going to do that. Or we can introduce our forecast in this range in a more probabilistic mode rather than, you know, that single number approach that you get off of our webpage. So those are the kinds of things that we are looking at. And we need to sort through, and there's certainly research involved in that as well. There's some folks, perhaps some even on this call, that have very strong opinions about giving a more, against doing deterministic forecasting out to 10 days versus having the more probabilistic approach, and that's something we have to consider. Now, having stated that, there are those in the total enterprise of providing weather information that already have that more deterministic approach on their web page. I'm not criticizing it. I'm just saying is that there are some who have taken that step already. And that's something that we want to look at as part of our evaluation as well. And I'll leave it at that. But we have used these advances in our model capabilities and the level of accuracy that we actually then diagnose and assess over a longer period of time to then make those decisions whether we're going to extend the daily range of what I would consider more specific weather forecast. Does that help?
Yes, and the overall cost of this upgrade?
Yeah, I think we need to get back to you on that question.
Okay. If Lauren could just email me with that, that'd be great.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
And at this time, I show no further questions in the queue. Again, if there are any more questions over the phone lines, please press star 1 and record your name.
If it does look like that is our last question, I'm going to just say thank you so much to all of our speakers today for being on the phone, and I think that will go ahead and conclude our press briefing. You can find the news release on NOAA.gov. I heard that was one of our questions as well. It should be there right now. And if there are any additional questions, please contact me. You can reach me via phone as well at 202-740-8314. Again, thank you for joining us today. Have a wonderful day.
This does conclude today's conference. Thank you all for participating. You may now disconnect.